Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Lord's house this morning. It's good to see everyone here today. We're going to open our service this morning with the hymn, "To God Be the Glory." So if you could stand with me, please, as we open our service. To God be the glory, great things He has done. We're here to give Him the glory this morning. If we have any visitors today, welcome to our service. Good to see everyone today. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage this morning.
Good morning, folks. We welcome you today to our worship service. We welcome those watching by Facebook and YouTube and those listening by web radio. Welcome you to our time of worship today. It's good to see y'all. Today I'll be preaching from Matthew 26. And what I want to do, since we're getting close to Easter, the next few weeks, we'll be talking about things that happened in the last week of the life of Jesus. So we'll be going to the Garden of Gethsemane today, and we'll be talking about the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. May we pray together. Lord, we thank You for the day, and we thank You for this time of worship that You've given us. We thank You, God, for Your goodness to us, and we just know that You're a great and awesome God. And we thank You for all that You do for us. So today, as we have met to worship, I pray that our hearts and minds would be centered upon You. Speak to us today through Your Word, and help us to honor and glorify You today in our time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. There's a lot of announcements in your bulletin there coming up through the springtime, through April and May. Just take note of those. Also one about Vacation Bible School. take note of all those, especially coming up with the Easter egg hunt on the 16th. So just mark your calendar for those things. Also, on the back of your bulletin, we announced last week about ways that the Loudoun Rotary Club is helping the relief efforts in the Ukraine. So that information is there on the back of your bulletin as well. If you have any questions about that, I'll be glad to answer them. One announcement that's not in your bulletin, if you still have a rice bowl, try to get that turned in this week. I'm going to turn that money in and get all that change gathered up and took to the credit union and get that counted and send them a check. So if you still have a rice bowl that's still out, try to get that in this week if you could. Our next couple sets of songs is about the cross. As our pastor mentioned, as we get closer to Easter, we're going to be focusing on the cross. So just join in with us as we sing Blessed Redeemer, and I will sing the wondrous story.
Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary Street, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, blessed He prayed, and while His life blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary Street, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love Him, Savior and friend, how can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary Street, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory for the cross on Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through His loving arms around me, drew me back into His way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then He'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet.
We're going to continue, as I said, with that theme about the cross. We're going to sing two familiar hymns. They're just different arrangements. Nothing But the Blood and the Old Rugged Cross. So if you could stand with us on Nothing But the Blood, we'll let you be seated on the second one. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Familiar, maybe a favorite hymn of yours is the Old Rugged Cross. Anna will be singing a couple of the verses, but you please feel free to join in with us as we sing the Old Rugged Cross this morning.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Attraction for me. rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory
to sing hymns of praise about the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice made for our sin on the cross. Lord, we thank you that we can stay near the cross. We pray that you keep us near the cross. God, we thank you for the hope of heaven and how we can one day see you face to face and spend eternity there. I ask that you open our hearts as we receive your word today in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team and congregation, for the singing today. Traditionally, when people talk about the Passion of Christ, they focus in on the last week of Jesus and his work and ministry here on this earth. And that's really where you see his passion. And we will look at an event in his life that last week in Matthew 26 this morning. This is the prayer that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 36 is what I want to begin reading. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. So you see somewhat of the human emotion of Jesus here, sorrowful and deeply distressed. Verse 38, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. So in the garden he prayed three times, but he prayed the same prayer three times, and we'll talk about that. So he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This passage, this would be Thursday night, close to midnight in the last week of our Lord on this earth. On Saturday of the Holy Week, Jesus appeared in Bethany. He arrived at Bethany. On Sunday, he met with the people there in Bethany and taught them from the Scriptures. On Monday, he made his final entry into Jerusalem. On that day, the Bible tells us that they cried out to him, "Hosanna." They acknowledged him as king. That is the traditional Palm Sunday that we talk about. That happened on that Monday. Then on Tuesday, he went to the temple. The Bible tells us that he cleared the money changers out of the temple on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he taught in the temple and he confounded and confronted the religious leaders. And then we come to Thursday. That's where we are now. We're Thursday about midnight. But early that morning on Thursday, Jesus had given the disciples instruction to prepare for the Passover meal. So during Thursday, they got things ready for the Passover meal late that evening in the upper room. They had the last Passover meal together. At that point, Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper. When they got through with the Passover meal, Jesus said, "It's time to go." So they got up. They left the upper room. They walked outside of the city of Jerusalem. Of course, the city was surrounded with a wall. So they go on the outer wall of the city of Jerusalem. They go across the Brook of Kidron to the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. And there on the Mount of Olives was located a garden. The garden was called the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means wine press. That's what it means. But that's where this event took place. In this passage, we're near midnight. And in this passage, as much as possible, what I want to share with you today is the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also share with you the lesson that he has for us when we face temptation. Because that's what he faced here. And he shows us the pathway to victory with that. So what I want to do, I want to hinge our thoughts today on three words. The first word I want to talk about is sorrow. The anticipation of Calvary begins to weigh on Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that as he made his way to the garden and as he arrived to the garden, that he began to be sorrowful. Do you see it there in the Bible? In verse 37, he began to be sorrowful, deeply distressed. Here we see the humanity of Jesus Christ. He was God, but he was man. And so here in the garden, we understand some of his emotions and some of his sufferings here. And that's where we want to go with this. Verse 37 tells us that the anguish was related to the cross. It isn't because he hates the thought of the physical pain that he's going to go through on the cross. That's not it at all. But it's just the anguish. The anguish here, the cross, and all that meant, and all that represented to him. He hates the thought of bearing the wrath of God, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Throughout all eternity, he had been with the Father. Their relationship was close. They had that unity with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he knows now that when he goes to the cross and he bears the wrath of God on the cross and he carries your sin and my sin, that he would be separated from the Father. That's the anguish. That's the sorrow that he feels here. So he feels the weight of the cross before it's ever put on his back. He feels deep sadness. He feels deep sorrow. A lot of things in Jesus' life had caused him pain. Have you ever been betrayed by a friend? Think about the defection of Judas. Jesus felt that. Think about when Peter denied him, how Jesus felt about that. The injustice that he went through, the rejection of the nation of Israel, the cursing, the mocking. But here it's the reality. The reality of bearing the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, that he would bear on the cross for us. No matter what pain he experienced before, no matter what sorrow he felt before, none could be compared to this event right here. So to understand the suffering of Jesus before he ever gets to the cross, we've got to go to the garden. And that's why I wanted to go here today. This is where it begins. The war for your salvation was won at Calvary. The battle for our salvation was won here in the garden. This is where the battle was won. So we get a deep insight here to how painful the cross would be. We get insight in here to how greatly he loved the Father, how greatly he was devoted to the Father's will, how committed he was to the Father's will. But also we see here how greatly and deeply he and the Father loved sinners. We see his love for us here. I mean, there's great sorrow. There's great emotion that's going on here. So the deepest and most profound insight we could ever get to the humanity of Jesus Christ is right here. Folks, he was God, but yet he was man. Here we see him tempted in all points like we are, but he never sinned. He was without sin. We see him being equipped to be a merciful high priest. And that's who he is to us. And that's why the Bible tells us when we pray and we go through all these things we go through in life, that we have a high priest who knows how we feel, who can be touched with what's touching us and what's a part of our lives. Here we see him put his trust in God the Father. Here he shows us how to battle Satan and how to trust God at the same time. So that's what's going on here. Listen to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53:3. Isaiah tells us about Jesus in Isaiah 53, many years before Jesus was ever born. He tells us that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. That's Jesus. So what's going on here with Jesus? What's the deal here with Gethsemane? Listen to the way the writer of Hebrews describes it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. Now the Holy Spirit had to reveal to the writer of Hebrews all that Jesus was going through in the garden. Folks, we're on sacred ground here. If you remember, the disciples didn't go all the way with Jesus into the garden when he went ahead to pray. And so here's what the Bible tells us. Who in the days of his flesh, that means the incarnation, that means the humanity of Jesus, when he was here on this earth, in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears. So what's Jesus doing? He's crying. He's yelling out to God. He's going through a great emotional time here. With cries and tears to Him who's able to save him from death. And God the Father heard him, the Bible said, and He was heard because of His godly fear. Though He was a son, yet He learned no obedience by the things which He suffered. Having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. So Jesus is crying. Jesus is yelling. Here is the man of sorrow that we read about in this chapter. When John talks about this in his gospel, he talks about it in John 18. But John tells us this in that passage in John 18. He said, Jesus knowing all things that would come upon him. In other words, Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew what would happen on the cross. He knew about the trials. He knew about all the mocking and all the rejection that he would go through. Jesus, knowing all that, still was willing to do it. The second word that I want to talk about is supplication. Why did Jesus pray the same prayer three times? And you see it here. I mean, it's the same prayer he prayed three times. I think it marks this also that if you remember when Jesus began his earthly ministry, the Bible tells us that he was taken into the wilderness and he was tempted three times by Satan. So there's a connection here. There really is. This really shows us the pathway to victory in our time of temptation. So what did Jesus do? He prayed. The issue here is not God hearing him. That's not the issue. The issue is not, you know, does God hear our prayer when we pray? Because he does. That's not why he prayed the same prayer three times. God the Father heard the prayer the first time. God hears your prayer the first time. But I think the issue here really is the passion. We see the passion of Christ. Also, I think we see his commitment to the will of the Father. And then I think it really is an example for us in what we're to do when we face temptation. And he shows us here the pathway of that. Verse 39 tells us that he went a little farther and he fell on his face and prayed. So what's the position of Jesus here? He's flat on his face. And he's praying. Saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." Verse 42, a second time he went and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." So again, it's the same prayer, same words. Verse 44, he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying these same words. So Jesus came to die. He came to drink the cup. In John 18:11, Jesus said to Peter, when Peter had taken his sword out of his sheath, Jesus said this to Peter. He said, "Shall I not drink the cup which my Father's given me?" In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said, "There's a cup, and I have to drink it." Jesus is not trying to get out of doing the will of the Father here in this prayer. That's not what this prayer is all about. What Jesus is doing here is simply, I think, saying, "God, if there's any other way, if there's any other plan," it's not about the power of God. It's not about that. It's not what God could do or what God could save him from or anything like that. But he knows that there's no other plan. And the plan for your salvation and my salvation was the cross. Jesus is not trying to get out of doing the will of God. That's not the issue here, folks. That's not what he's doing. The cup is very symbolic. The symbolism of the cup that he talked about is the wrath of God. It's God's wrath that is poured out on sin. That's all through the Bible. That's what that cup represents. Now understand what I'm saying here. Jesus bore our sins. He carried our sins. But Jesus never became a sinner. Jesus never sinned. He took our sin. He bore our sin. He died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That's what this cup represented. That's the sorrow. That's the pain. That's the separation that's going to come. So on the cross, He died for us. He came to redeem us. He tells us in Luke's gospel, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. So he knew why He came. And He's going to fulfill the plan. And He's going to go to the cross. And He's going to die. John 12:27, Jesus said this. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. So He came to do the Father's will. And you'll notice in the prayer, and this is very important, every time, you know what Jesus came back to? Not my will, but Your will be done. So every time, He came right back to doing the Father's will. At this point, when He got through praying the third time, Luke tells us this in Luke 22:24, that He began to sweat great drops of blood. Literal blood that He sweated. So we've seen the sorrow, the supplication. Now I want to talk about the strength. These disciples were weak, but He was very strong. Most Bible scholars believe this. They believe that when Judas was leading the Roman soldiers to arrest Jesus, that probably what happened was Jesus could look through the garden there toward the city and see the torches and the soldiers, and see Judas leading the way. And so when Jesus had prayed the third time, then He said, see, my betrayer's at hand. That He literally saw Judas leading them. Jesus didn't run away from it, but He said, rise, let us be going. Do you see His courage? Do you see His strength? He wasn't running away from the cross. He wasn't trying to run away and not do the Father's will, but here you see a man of courage. You see a man of strength, knowing what's going to happen. In John 18:4, here's John's commentary on this. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon Him, went forward. He knew what was going to happen. And He said to them, who are you seeking? When they got to the garden, arresting. They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am He. And the Bible tells us in John's gospel that when He said, I am He, they all fell down. They all fell backwards at His power. So, but there's something else interesting here that I want to point out to you. What Luke tells us is this. He tells us something interesting about the sleeping disciples. In Luke 22:45, Luke says this, when He rose up from prayer and had come to His disciples, He found them sleeping from sorrow. Literally in the Greek, you know what that means? They cried themselves to sleep. Have you ever cried yourself to sleep? You see, to them everything was going wrong. Everything was falling apart. This wasn't how things were supposed to end, you know. They wanted the literal kingdom established. They were, you know, they were looking to Messiah to establish the kingdom and to get rid of the Romans and all that. But the cross? So their dreams are dashed. Their hopes are gone. And literally now they realize he's going to cross. He's going to die. So the issue here is for us, at the moment of our crises, are we sleeping or are we praying? At the moment of our crises, are we doing what Jesus did? So how did he overcome this temptation? See, the temptation was this. What Satan wanted was to keep him from going to the cross. And if he could keep him from going to the cross, then there'd be no salvation, there'd be no redemption, there'd be no forgiveness of sin. So that was the great temptation. What would Jesus do? Well, of course, we know he's going to do the Father's will. But for us, what's the example here when we face our crises? Well, what did Jesus do? Well, he referred to the Word of God. Jesus depended on the power of God. And the third thing he did was pray. So in our time of crises, what do? We do the same thing Jesus did. We follow his example. And we go to the Word of God. And we trust in the power of God. And we pray. We just go to God and we pray. And so that's exactly what he did. So we see here this morning the sorrow of Jesus. Next week we'll be talking about the cross, what happened on the cross. But as we think about this week, I want to press upon you to think about the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief and why he did what he did. He did it for you and he did it for me. And that was God's plan. And that's the only way that we can be saved, is through the work of Jesus Christ. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus did to save us. Because he loved us and because you loved us, then he came for this purpose. Lord, we're overwhelmed today with such love and grace. Father, as we go through this week and as we get closer to Resurrection Sunday on Easter, I pray that we be reminded again of the suffering of our Lord. May our hearts be filled with gratitude for what you did for us. May we honor the one who went through so much and gave his life for us. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing together, please.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
talked about sorrow, supplication, and strength. And I'll just be honest with you, every time we get to this time of the year, it's very emotional for me to read about the life of Jesus and what he did. And it's just, you know, it's hard. But he did it for us, and he did it because he loves us. And so that just gives us a greater love for him and greater gratitude for all that he's done for us. So that's what we want to be with this. If you've never established a spiritual base in your life, you need to do that. You need to establish that spiritual base and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, go this week in God's strength, his grace, and may God bless you all. Worship team will come now and dismiss us in our closing song.
As we go this week, we're going to leave you with the song, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. We'll sing the one verse in the chorus. You join with us.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the when we shall leave this place.
Thank you. You're dismissed.